This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and the Tin Society. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Hey, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. It's just rock and roll time around here, dude. Yeah, it's been insane, you know. Yeah. Just for some reason, you know, it's Father's Day, so, you know, you got people buying things for gifts and whatnot, but it has been kind of busy this time of year for a June, and so we're thankful for that. But, you know, in the South, we, you know, our listeners, longtime listeners, are regularly, you know, familiar with how we complain about the weather where we are, and so especially during the heat in the summer. And so it's surprising that so many pipe smokers are out and about and have found us and are chugging on their pipes even in the heat in the afternoon,
man.
So,
yeah,
but it's great,
and the weather's crazy. I mean, you know, the reality is everywhere you are, people complain about the weather. Like, oh, you don't like the weather here in Georgia, just stick around. You don't like the weather here in, you know, British Columbia, just stick around.
Yeah,
it's just,
no, yeah, everyone's got their thing, right?
Everybody's got their thing. Actually, I flew back. Last week, I spent a couple of days in New York. We did a live podcast for another show, and yesterday morning.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
It went really well, but yesterday morning, I went to like my favorite place to get breakfast in New York, Russ and Daughters.
Oh, I was about to say bed.
No. This is like a kosher deli, right? With like lox and bagels and everything. It's amazing. But I was walking in like the Lower East Side, and I knew I was going to be flying back, and it was so incredibly hot. Like, it was just burning up, and I was like, well, I can't complain about this.
Even in New York,
I'm going to Mississippi in less than a few hours. Like,
right.
You know, this is my break.
The heat. That's just your primer, man. Yeah, you just get warmed up, literally. Yeah.
Exactly, man. But no, you know, it's interesting, though, with it being Father's Day, and of course, you know, with some great sales going on here at the Country Squire, right?
That's right. So, of course, you know, this time of year, we try to do it up for Daddy, but honestly, you know, this is really just an excuse for most of us to go buy another pipe or blow it on something to enhance our cellar. Let's just be honest about it. So, here at the Country Squire, we've got all our pipes are 15% off, and then our tobaccos and cigars are 10% off. Mm. And so, if you go to our website, if you're listening and are you know, out of Jackson somewhere and want to order, all the pipes on our website are automatically 15% off. If you want the 10% off tobaccos and cigars, you'll have to enter the coupon DAD2018.
DAD2018.
Yeah, all one word. So, but anyway, that's going on through Father's Day, which is in a couple weeks now.
Man,
so,
I'm kind of curious about this. Like, for Father's Day, do you find more people, because like you say, I mean, we use every excuse as an excuse to like buy ourselves our own
gifts. It's like Christmas time, I'm buy presents for other people. Let's be honest, you're spending so much money, you're just like, I might as well slip something for me in there.
You're preemptively spending the Christmas cash on yourself, essentially. But like for Father's Day, do people typically come in more for the tobacco or for the pipes?
You know, I think it tends to be for the pipes. Yeah. It's one of those things.
It's so like, iconic.
Well, you know, and if you want to buy a gift for someone, I mean, a tobacco is one thing if it's a stocking stuffer or a small present, you know. But if you're trying to make a statement piece, a statement gift, you know, you're thinking, I mean, you know, think about it. Would you rather, you know, get a tin of tobacco or a shiny new pipe? You know, a lot of times, though, if the pipe related gift is not the main gift, then they'll go with the tobacco or a couple of tins or you know, maybe a half pound of one of our blends or something like that. But anyway, I've got a lot of folks that do that. Also, this time of year, I love it because these wives will come in and they'll buy pipes for their husband as like a kind of a cute, encouraging way to quit them to get them to quit smoking cigarettes.
Right.
And so, you know, we've got these wives will come in and be like, well, I think it'll be cute and he'll like it. I'm really hoping he'll give up the Camels. So, which is great, you know, so we hope so too.
Gosh, we need to like put together like some sort of series on like how to kick the camel goodbye. I mean, you know, I realize that we've talked about the subject before about, you know, separating the stigma and everything, and we want to be respectful that, you know, in the industry, there's a lot of...
Yeah, sure, we get it.
There's different pulls for different people, but the reality is that, like, you know, we here at Country Squire Radio would far rather you be smoking a pipe than a...
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah, for a variety of reasons. and so, like, you know, maybe we could, like, offer some sort of crash course or, like, psychological
reconditioning.
Yeah, like mentally calibrating you or something of that nature in preparation for what you're about to enter into and how to leave the past behind. Kill it if you have to. All right, man, we've got a show tonight.
We do have a show tonight.
Talking about some tobaccos that...
you can't pronounce.
Well, but
most of the time I can't either.
My goal, honestly, this episode, and you know, longtime listeners and even relatively short time listeners know, here on Country Squire Radio, we are known for three things. The first is pipe tobacco and pipes and the talking of
the... Gosh, I hope so.
One would assume, if nothing else, that gets you in the door.
Right.
The other thing is shenanigans, because let's be honest.
Right.
And then finally, and most importantly, we butcher names here. That is what we do on practically a weekly basis. Typically, it's the names of those that have gone to patreon.com/countrysquireradio to support the show.
It's kind of a place of honor.
It is a place of honor.
We are truly endeared to you. If we cannot say your name.
Exactly.
Or at least pretend like it.
Exactly. But never before has there been, and you know, I'm sure someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's ever been a tobacco in which I have personally butchered the name of, but that all changes tonight. Because tonight we are talking about, John David, what are we talking about?
Freiburg and Trier.
First of all, Swedish? I'm assuming Swedish.
German, as far as I can tell.
Oh, all right. I got to get my German accent.
It's like, who are we going to offend tonight?
I ain't going to offend. I get Indiana Jones. I'll work on it.
No, it's that whole deal about, like, you know, it sounds really angry, even if you're saying something really polite and kind.
All right, so right. Before we jump into the debate, have I ever told you my German story about...
No, but we have to hear it.
All right, so here's the deal. I was so a long time ago, back before I was a father, actually the last Father's Day before I actually became a father, my wife and I went on a trip to Italy, and we flew Lufthansa, which is a German airline.
Yeah.
Wonderful, by the way, airline, and if Lufthansa wants to sponsor this show, call me. We had a wonderful time, but... In going through to get to Italy, we had to go through Germany, had to go through customs, and the officer that was kind of letting us in and out of the country was obviously a German officer. And so he gets in there, and it's just me and my wife, and we're like right at, you know, it's just us and him. He's looking at our papers, he's like, let me see your papers. And we give him the papers and everything.
Right.
He's like, no, this is no good. No, you cannot. You cannot. Like, he's like shutting us down. Like, and I can't do
it. Getting stonewalled.
I couldn't do a very good German accent, but he was telling us about how our papers weren't right, and I'm starting to get nervous. And I was like, "What's wrong? What's going on?" He goes, "She never signed." And like on her passport. So this dude was trying to like joke with us.
Right.
But he's a German officer telling us we don't have our papers.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, you realize you guys were the Nazis, right?
Like, I mean, let's be easy
not
now.
The profile
yeah.
or anything.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, no, yeah. I mean, I understand, you know, you're in a foreign country and you kind of, you know, get that feeling, but you know, that Germany's different now, but I mean, yeah, there's an intimidation factor.
There's a huge intimidation factor.
That's there, yeah.
No, like, you don't have your papers. Like, oh, man, it freaked us out.
What are your papers?
Yeah. Profiling is wrong, and I'm sure he's a very nice man.
No, absolutely.
So let's talk about Häagen-Dazs. Hagenfroggen.
Hagenfroggen? How about Freiburg and Trier?
Freiburg?
Yeah. Man, it's such a great tobacco and such an interesting history. This is a tobacco, of course, that, gosh, has been around for, or a brand anyway, that's been around for 300 years, which is really amazing. You know, we think about the tobaccos that that we can point to in our industry and in our community that have been around that long. I mean, there's not many, right? We think about the Sam Gaywiths out there, and gosh, just, you know, limited Gaywith and Hogarth. I mean, just limited amounts of blenders that have been around that long. But gosh, Freiburg and Trier, this is a tobacco brand, of course, that has been around for so long. So opened in 1720. In the Haymarket district in London. That's eventually where their shop kind of moved to. They had multiple locations at one point or another. But it is actually Treyer, the Freiburg half of it, and their family was joined by the Treyer family. Immigrated from Germany, and of course the guy that kind of spearheaded the initial push into premium tobacco, a gentleman named Gottlieb Freiburg. Gottlieb. Right, that's right. And so just a handsome name there, and they really took off as kind of a purveyor of not just pipe tobacco or pipes, but honestly their main fame actually came from the snuff market. And so premium British handmade snuff. And this is snuff that I'll show you here shortly, but we think about old fashioned grandma snuff, right? Like the powdered tobacco, where you take the stems and tears from the leaves of your favorite tobaccos, the stuff that can't be put into premium pipe tobacco. They send that to people like Freiburg and Treyer. They grind it up and put all kinds of seasonings in there to make it interesting. And then you have this powdered tobacco that you can just gently place in your nostril or under your gum, and then you've got this kind of snuff product.
Now is that the same or related to like dip, that sort of thing?
Well, it's similar in some ways, I guess. Dip is more like granulated. You think about snuff, and it's a
powder.
It doesn't. No, okay. it doesn't. It's actually something that just kind of naturally stays in your system. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and show you.
This bust it out here.
This is Freiburg and Treyer snuff. Now we don't sell this at the Country Squire. We sell some other snuff brands, but Freiburg and Treyer. I actually got this at the Briar Shop in Houston, Texas, from my friend Ross, who manages that shop down there. Great shop if you're ever in Houston. We've talked about it before. We all go see them. This is Freiburg and Treyer, established 1720 in Haymarket, London. Of course, it looks really official. It's got all the script stuff on there. But this is one of their better selling snuffs, and it's just a really simple powdered tobacco. I'm gonna let you take a look and smell.
I mean, wow. I mean, like fine powder.
Yeah.
If you want to,
It's like dust. Yeah, I mean, it really is like dust.
For somebody who's not familiar, I mean, like, honestly, it looks like you're looking into a container of cinnamon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, it looks like something that came out of your spice cabinet. Sure.
And that would make some sense. And the interesting thing is the smell. I don't know if this is just this particular tin, but there's almost like a... like a soap, like bathroom type of smell to it.
Well, they flavor it with all kinds of things.
Like floral, lavender.
This particular one is Macuba, and I'm not exactly sure what goes into it, to be honest, but they're using all kinds of different flavorings, just like you might find in pipe tobacco, to flavor some of this stuff.
Yeah, let me clarify. Yeah. When I say bathroom, I don't mean like urinal. What I mean like is specifically... what I mean is like...
delicious.
Like this like luxurious kind of spa type of... bath type situation here. Not at all what I would imagine it to smell like.
Right. Yeah, you think of tobacco, particularly something like this that you put in your nostril or under your gum, as being like, I guess, more of a savory feel almost. But this is more there's a floral note here, and as well as kind of a sweet. Pleasant note. It kind of in some ways reminds you of those Lakeland tobaccos, which are made from the folks like Gaywith and Hogarth that use kind of that rosewater essence. Some of those things you'll find those occasionally in snuffs, but not all the time. Anyway, really interesting stuff. So Freiburg and Treyer, of course, was known for literally over a century for making some of the finest snuff in Great Britain. Matter of fact, they had a royal warrant, which is basically a royal warrant is basically a code for you're the tobacco producer or provider for royalty, and so someone comes to you and they're like, I'm giving you permission to be my supplier of X and X goods or whatever. And the royal warrant for Freiburg and Treyer was for snuff and also pipe tobacco for kings of England and kings of Hanover and Belgium, of course, kind of coming from that more continental roots there, which is kind of interesting. Outstanding pipe tobacco blends, super premium quality. Their iconic store there in the Haymarket District had these beautiful bay windows, and so you'd walk by and see them blending, you know, pipe tobacco and producing these high end goods. You know, after 300 years, it was one of those you know, stores that just, you know, literally being the private tobacconist for kings and dukes. Even on this tin of tobacco, the snuff that they've got here, tobacconists and purveyors of foreign snuff to their late majesties, the kings of Hanover and Belgium, and their late royal highnesses, the dukes of Sussex, Cambridge, and the Duchess of Kent. And so it's like you've got, now I want to know what the Duchess of Kent smoked. That's what
that's
I
interesting
know.
Yeah.
But you know, so you've got just this incredible history, and you know, eventually they were bought in the late 70s by Imperial Tobacco, and then the shop itself actually sadly enough closed in 1981, but you can still go by and see the bay windows there of the original store, and just a really, really interesting history there at that location.
Were they given like a seal or like, you know, some sort of paperwork that's, because, you know,
my guess is they were.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, I'm positive they
were. This almost feels like the 1700s version of, like, you know, the famous person who comes into the shop and then you get your picture taken with them and put them up on the wall. You know, like in the 1700s.
No, that's right.
You had the royals. Those were your celebrities.
And yeah.
So, like, to have,
and in some sense, it still is. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. With the to do with the most latest in the royal wedding saga. Yeah, no, for real. But, like, you know, it just kind of feels like that a little bit. Like, you're like, oh,
right.
Well, you know, Charles,
right.
You know.
Well, what's cool, you know, and we've seen this so many times with different brands of tobacco, and, you know, just as it switches over, different places close, and then folks will buy the recipes out, and this and this. And so, you know, Freiburg and Traeger, they close, of course, 1981. But they have these products that, you know, people just love, right? For instance, you know, we talked to our friend over at Dunhill the other week, mm-hmm, about, yeah, how, you know, Dunhill, the pipe company, actually got out of making tobacco years ago, but they, you know, that those brands were, the Dunhill brands were still important enough and still, you know, viable enough to where someone picked up those brands and continued to produce those blends under under the same name, just different manufacturing companies to do that. And so so the same thing happened with the Freiburg and Traeger tobaccos. And so, you know, they became, you know, one of those that was sought after, you know, to be blended by basically a third party or a new blender. And so that's the Freiburg and Traeger that we have today. Other folks that are similar to this are folks like Dunhill or, you know, the James Fox blends. We've talked about Fox Tobacconist in London, and just that place's incredible history, and you've still got those blends that they're pumping out, like the Squires and the Bankers, and those blends are still really popular. They're just not produced by the original tobacconist. And so a German firm, Kohlhaas and Kopp, is the firm that picked this up. And Kohlhaas and Kopp, I love them. They make some of the best tobaccos in the world. They're one of the best manufacturers. Now, you know, who knows how many of these they're actually putting out themselves, but they have all these legacy brands that they have the rights to the blend. And so, you know, it's basically like, it's if one firm, like, owns the recipe to Coke and Dr. Pepper and Sprite. They didn't invent those, but they got the rights to them, right? And so they're still producing them over time. Well, Kohlhaas and Kopp, they're this German firm, and I encourage you to go to their website. Not a lick of it's in English, but you can kind of piece through and see some of the really marquee brands that they've got there. Others are Solani Tobaccos, which are fantastic. Of course, we talk about the Gold Flake, the H. Burley Flake, the Silver Flake, the Rainer Tobaccos, which I love that 71. It's just a really good white burley with perique. Real expensive tobacco, but super fine. So it's the same firm, actually, that does the Rattray's tobaccos, some of the most popular tobaccos in the world. We talk about, you know, Howl the Wind and, you know, Red Rappery and some of those guys.
Yeah, did we do a focus on that brand? Or maybe we've just done some of those for tobacco.
We've talked about them for tobacco talks,
yeah,
I think.
Right.
But just excellent tobaccos. And then others like Ashton and Sillam's. You got Sillam's tobacco, of course, real premium stuff. So they're known for more sophisticated tobaccos, just incredibly good blends that are mimicked often. These are the blends that people are like, man, I want to make a blend like that. So anyway, we still have the Freiburg and Traeger tobaccos through Kohlhaas & Kopp, and a few that I'll just kind of parade here in front of you quickly. Just so you have kind of an idea what we've got here. I'm smoking the Cut Virginia Plug tonight. Actually, I don't have this tin in front of me. It's sitting on the other side of the shop because I loaded my pipe with it earlier today. But it
smells delicious.
The Cut Virginia Plug, it's just an excellent tobacco. It kind of reminds me in some ways of some of my favorite tobaccos that we talk about a lot on Country Squire Radio, or like Golden Sliced. The Vowin 14. This is somewhere around the Vowin 14 and like the Mac Baron Pure Virginia. It's got this kind of mellow crisp. There's just a little citrus there. It's not super sharp, but just a little bit of that. Nice grassy flavors, but they're not overwhelmed by the hay that sometimes are there in Virginias. And so really good. That's the Cut Virginia Plug. The Cut Blended Plug is a really similar blend. It's more mellow. It's not as much sweetness, but there's just a little richer flavor there. I'll let you look. This is, their artwork is incredibly simple. It's just a very simple thing. On the front of all their tobaccos, you kind of have this shop front. It's their bay windows of their iconic shop there in London, and it just says Freiburg and Traeger, 34 Haymarket, London. And that's really all you get. There's not a whole lot else to say.
Like, you got it on a kind of a baseline color. I would imagine each color represents a different blend.
It does, and there are a couple that are similar, but one thing that we've seen recently, Freiburg and Traeger, all the blends that are made by Kohlhaas & Kopp, and then all the other blends out there too, frankly, everyone is trying to catch up right now to change their labels on the outside of the tins because of the new warning labels that are going to be required by the FDA. That's a part of it. So it looked similar to this.
Right.
It looked similar to this just a few months ago, but they've had to kind of...
Larger, right?
But this is a larger iteration. Yeah.
Really? Because I was just thinking about how much smaller the everything looked, really to make room for the bottom half to be covered up.
And then all these tins too, these Cut Virginias and the flakes that you see, these were all in square tins that overnight they had to figure out, what do we do? So they had to put them in a round tin in order to make room for the giant warning label that's going to go
on. It is interesting.
This was actually a square tin just 6 months ago.
And so it was recut. So the label,
and so they had
to
redo
recut
the label for a round tin. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty fascinating. Yeah.
Huh.
So, it's just the market's changing, and these tobacco producers, they're, scrambling to keep up with the new government requirements just like everybody else.
And was Friggeborgen?
Right.
Wait, so who was tinning this? Like, were they tinning their own?
As far as I'm aware, they were actually producing it there in their shop. Yeah.
Okay, because I mean,
so,
like,
yeah, and I don't know if it was tinned at that point. Actually, it may have just been a tobacco that was only available at their store. I'm not positive.
Who tinned this?
So this was done by the Kohlhaas & Kopp company.
Okay, all right.
That does all those other fantastic tobaccos in Germany.
Well, right. So when we went to go visit STG and we kind of got a chance to see like their whole tinning process and everything, it is like it's fascinating just how, like, you think the slightest change, not to mention like the larger changes, like the slightest how that goes into the entire kind of almost like the biological organism that is the manufacturing line.
Some of these manufacturing processors are so ancient, right, that it's when you introduce a small change like this, it's like, crap, what do we do? We've been doing it this way since 1720.
And that's the thing, like, it is amazing though that because of the process. I mean, if you think about like what a tin is, like what a tobacco tin is, I mean, this is not high tech. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a small metal can that's been vacuum sealed.
I mean, there's been some very much kind of it ain't broke, so don't fix it type of mindset with how it seals everything in. But like to be ordered to produce these things and at the scale, you know. So SCG, obviously they have an amazing facility there.
Yeah.
But we saw, like, you know, not only, like, you know, brand new equipment in use, but also equipment that had been there for forever still in use because the process was so similar.
Right.
But when these little changes come along, I remember talking with somebody on site actually about having to do like a slight change. Like it was about the amount of tobacco allowed in certain tins. Do you remember this?
I don't actually, but I know they were using equipment that was, you know, older than the shop is. I
right.
mean, in some cases.
Well, so that was a situation. Like, so it was some regulation in a different country. It wasn't this one, but they had to, like, in America, it could be a certain amount, and in this other country, it had to be a different amount, but they had to use the same tinning process for everything. And so in order to change it, like the equipment would have to be custom built, because you can't just like buy, you know,
no,
these, like,
exactly.
easy things.
Right.
Just because it's so...
These widgets. Yeah. I mean, you have to...
It's an ancient process.
Someone makes this kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's it.
Sorry, not to get into manufacturing.
No, it's true. And that's how it works in that whole industry, or in any industry manufacturing environment. But yeah, so, you know, it just a lot of great blends. They're particularly known and have been known, you know, over the centuries for using incredible quality leaf. And nowadays, the tins that are available, the ones that are super popular and really hard to get are the ones that feature Virginias. And so the cut Virginia plug that I'm smoking now, the cut blended plug that we've got here that I mentioned is a little richer. It's more red leaf in there, matured leaf. And then we've got the golden mixture, which is a Virginia ribbon, which is a kind of a bright, cheery, natural flavor Virginia ribbon, just real clean, super good tobacco. So they've got others like the Blackjack, which is also Virginia, just lots of different ones. So anyway, Fryborg and Traeger, they eat several great tobaccos. They're really, you know, kind of hard to find right now because they don't produce a lot of them there in Germany at the Kohlhaas & Kopp plant. But they're excellent blends. And, you know, for particularly non-aromatic smokers and lovers of, you know, Virginia natural sweetness leaf, you know, it's something you need to try to put on your hit list and find, you know, when you get a chance.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
All right.
It's great stuff.
Fryborg and Traeger.
Yes.
You did great.
I did it. Yeah, no, you did good. Now you can revert, you know.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good because, you know, we are the Fryborg, resistance is Traeger. I got it.
No, that's right.
That was good?
Yeah.
That makes some sense.
I'm sure there was an episode on the Next Generation about that.
You know, yeah. There should have been. Data was smoking a pipe at one point during the Next Generation. That did happen. Not that I'm not a Trek guy.
No, he was he was one of those where he was doing the Sherlock Holmes thing,
that's right. Although, yeah. Did he ever actually smoke it?
No, I think so.
Can you smoke a pipe on a spaceship? With, well, like, the airlock controlled...
You can do anything on the Enterprise.
I know, yeah, that's right. When you got holograms that can be created out of anything, that is absolutely true. Well, that is fascinating, man. You know, so you mentioned the branding. Of course, we talked about how it's kind of the wash on a different kind of baseline color. There is actually something surprisingly modern about it, honestly, with just kind of being the one single color.
You think about a lot of simplicity nowadays and, mm-hmm. you know, modern design. Of course, I'm no design connoisseur. We've got, you know, friends that are listeners of Country Choir Radio that are graphic designers and industrial designers and, you know, who knows what. But you do think of things being very simplistic, real clean. I don't know. It kind of goes with that, right?
It really does.
It's just real simple.
It reminds you what's old is new again, right?
Like, yeah.
It just kind of comes back around. So really fascinating stuff. So yeah, so let us know what your thoughts are on Fryborg and Traeger. And hey, if you are lucky enough to get your hands on some of this stuff and smoke it, you know, you don't want to just smoke it. You want to make sure that you're getting the best quality smoke out of it.
No, that's right. I mean, and smoking it out of a pipe that is going to let you appreciate the natural flavors and the delicate nuanced flavors of the tobacco.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is German. No. Deutschland Hagendassen Fräulein.
Did you just say something about, like,
ice cream?
Nannies and ice cream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our good friends at Missouri Beer Show.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Well, tonight, one of our most outstanding tasting pipes is, of course, sponsoring tonight's show.
And that's right, man.
That, of course, is the Missouri Meerschaum Shortstop.
Look,
I love this
thing.
Pipe. It is a excellent, excellent tasting pipe, and it's basically the clay pipe that Missouri Meerschaum makes. You know, it's one of the those that it's a small bowl. It's just big enough to fit your tamper inside of, but it is a perfect sampling size. And so, you know, you've got a basically a quarter or a third of a normal size medium bowl there that's available to you. It, like I said, just wide enough to get your tamper in, just a little bigger than that. And so it is a roomy enough bowl to you get free to get the, you know, real pipe experience, but certainly not something that you're going to spend, you know, more than 10 minutes smoking, 15 minutes at the max. And just gives you a good understanding of the tobacco itself. Really light, nice shank that's on this. They use the light colored wood, of course, with the standard black mouthpiece. And it's just a little longer than the Missouri Meerschaum Mini. So it just cools that smoke off a little bit more. But really great pipe. It's really inexpensive. Retails for about $5. And man, a good seller here at the Country Squire, particularly if someone comes in and wants to sample a new tobacco and they're like, oh, I left my pipe at home. Let me try the shortstop. Yeah.
Well, no matter what you're smoking, if you got yourself a shortstop, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture when you do it. Tweet it out to us. It's a good way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Do you know people make fun of you for how you say Meerschaum?
That's what they make fun of me for? That's the one?
No, I mean, you know, right. But, you know, it's funny. It's like I've heard people say, you know when Bo says like Meerschaum?
Yeah.
Meerschaum?
Yeah.
Meerschaum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
It's just that. Yeah, I don't know. It's a thing. It's some people say Meerschaum, right? So the emphasis is more on the front end.
It's
right?
All about the delivery. Missouri Meerschaum. If I do like Missouri, you know, Meerschaum.
Meerschaum.
Like Meerschaum. Meerschaum. Right. Like that's gonna throw off the flow. You gotta.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good. I'd be interested to know. Do our listeners are they Meerschaum people or Meerschaum people?
Well, I mean, like if I'm just in conversation, I probably say Meerschaum. But like if for the
the theatrics
it's
of
the
it,
pageantry
right?
of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You gotta stretch it out.
We'll go with that.
This is like, welcome to Country Choir Radio. I'm Bo. JD! Like, I don't say JD in normal conversation, typically.
You know what I mean? You probably have before. I don't know.
That is true.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week coming into us from DJ. I'm assuming this is Bizarro Land, John David.
It may be.
DJ says, what would be a tobacco that could match a cigar's smoke content? And he says, I mean, literally the amount of smoke per puff. As I am smoking more pipes, I find the thing I am missing the most is the aesthetic of a truly large plumes of smoke that the cigar affords. Thank you. Again, this is DJ, not JD. But I'm just, like I said, Bizarro JD.
Great question. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of cigar smokers, they do crave. I was talking to a cigar smoker the other day, and he was like, I tried the pipe. I smoke too fast for a pipe, and I'm too addicted to the plumes of smoke to enjoy a pipe, you know, and there's something about that, right? When you're smoking a cigar, you get those big clouds of smoke that rush in, and it's easy to produce them, and also when you do produce them, it doesn't burn your tongue as much. With a pipe, the smoke tends to be more delicate. You can get a cloudy smoke, but typically it means you're going to have to puff it faster and harder, which means it's going to get real hot and burn your tongue, whereas on cigars, you don't see that typically. The most smoke production we get tends to be from burley. Any kind of burley-based tobacco, that soft kind of air-cured burley. I mean, it just produces a lot of smoke. And so, you know, anything with a heavy burley content, I might point you to something like it's got a little perique in it too. What's the name of that? Bayou Morning might be a good call. We have one here at the shop called Parsons Blend. It's a aromatic, of course, that we've sold for a long time.
Right. You've often
high burley content. You know, another one, Black and Tan, that we sell here. You know, something with that soft burley, though, it just kind of produces these clouds of smoke that tend to billow from your mouth. Yeah. Again, it's not equivalent to a cigar, but for a pipe, it's probably as close as you'll get.
Yeah, so, Parsons Blend in particular. Like I remember, like you will often kind of promote the plumes of smoke that you can get out of that.
Well, it's a satisfying thing, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things. things that it's not a flavor thing necessarily, but it kind of that lingering cloud in your mouth. It can be the art of learning and practicing how to puff those rings and all that stuff. Someday I'm going to get to the Gandalf where I can do the whole ship, right? Yeah, but we're not quite there yet. But to make if you were going to do it, you would need a Burley because it require that much smoke.
Interesting. So yeah. I think it's safe to say that the pipe weed of the Shire has lots of Burley.
Probably a lot of Burley.
Well, great question, DJ. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in to us. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com. It's implied. It's implied.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question!
Ow!
See, I don't normally say quick fire questions like that if I'm just, quick fire question! Like, Jones!
With your meerschaum.
I'm just saying. Quick fire questions, of course, brought to us by the Tin Society.
Yes.
We're on them in just a moment. All right, now we actually have, a good number of quick fire questions sent in from Caleb Krause, and we're going to get to a few of those this one. But first, I have to throw this one in at the top. This was actually proposed on Facebook. In our Facebook group for the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, by Brady, Pipe Club member Brady, who asked.
Brady's really talented, by the way, incredible musician.
Not surprising at all. All right, so here's the thing: burger emoji.
Okay,
you've seen this, but the burger.
Oh
emoji.
Yeah. There was a difference between like the Google one and the Apple
That's
one.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. So in short, if you've not seen this, I think this has been kind of observed by many people, but the Apple cheeseburger or burger emoji, the cheese is on top of the patty
of the meat, right,
whereas the Google has it on the bottom,
right?
So are you an Apple burger emoji or a Google burger emoji?
All right, this has nothing to do with my stance on Apple versus Google.
That's right, that's exactly right.
But I'm a Apple burger emoji. The cheese belongs on top of the meat. It doesn't belong on the bottom. And the warmth, it's simple science, really. It's physics. The warmth of the meat melts the cheese, and it melts into and around the patty.
Yeah.
And that is just that is the natural order of things.
As much as it absolutely pains me as a Android fan, someone who has been rocking the Galaxy since like the first iteration of the Galaxy, someone who is very pro Android and to some extent anti Apple. I am as much Apple as I have to be, and these days I have to be to some extent. But for the most part, it's all about that Android.
Yeah.
Except for the burger.
Except for the burger.
You're right. There is something just honestly disturbing about the idea of the cheese being underneath.
Yeah, it's got to go on top of the patty. Yeah.
I try not to judge, but I judge that. I really do. That's wrong. That is wrong. But hey, I love to hear some thoughts on that. So all right, so we were both for going Apple emoji on that one.
Yep.
All right, so the rest of these are from Caleb Krause. He says this is the mental health counseling edition.
Okay.
All right. Introvert or extrovert?
Introvert.
All right. I'm kind of either an introverted extrovert or an extroverted introvert.
You're on the line, but I think you're an extrovert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm an extroverted introvert.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep. Cool. Let's see. Talking or silent listening?
Silent listening?
Like, would you rather be talking or like being silent and just listening?
That one. Yeah.
Being silent listening?
Yeah.
You're in the right profession.
Yeah. I really am.
I would definitely rather be talking, although I'm trying to be better at being a better listener.
Well, that's good. Both are required for conversation. You know, we just have to practice, practice on the ones that not our strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A comfortable love seat or big leather chair? Now, one presumes this is like while you're in a counseling session.
I think comfortable love seat.
Is that the one where you just like sit back? Like
a love seat is like a two seater.
Okay.
It's not a full couch. You think of a couch being like a three seater. This is a two seater.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, but would you go for the classic, lay your head down on the side, put your legs up and everything, and
like Freudian style where you like, looking
or like
at the
every
ceiling.
Single sitcom ever.
Yeah. I know. Right. Yeah. And no, I think, when I've been to counseling before, I've talked about this with friends, I typically, just, I'm not looking at the ceiling necessarily. I'm just, kind of staring straight forward or whatever, but, I don't know. There's something about a love seat. You can get spread out a little more, put your keys on the other side, unload your pockets and, You got a place to put your coffee and kind of make yourself comfortable.
You put your coffee on the love seat?
Well, you know, I mean, if it's sturdy.
All right. Well, hey, you know.
Yeah.
You got stuff on your mind. That's
fine.
That's
that's right. Yeah.
I think between the two, I'm going to go big leather chair. I like the leather chair. And then finally, and I love this, coping skills. Guacamole or queso?
Queso. Every time, 10 times out of 10. I love guacamole. I love it. But if you're coping, I mean, let's talk about like, this is the therapy edition, mental health counseling edition of this. If I want to self-medicate, it's going to involve cheese.
Yeah, cheese is to men what ice cream is to women in this regard, right?
Well, it will probably also involve ice cream.
Oh, well, there you go.
To be honest with you. But it will involve queso. I love queso. Doggone it,
man! All right,
it's so good.
I've already at the jump kind of made all of our German contingent turn off the podcast already.
Yeah, no, they're terrified.
This is definitely going to knock out like at least 70% of the audience. Queso is disgusting.
What?
I just.
What the heck is wrong with you?
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if I mix it a little bit into some salsa, that's okay, or something of that nature.
What is it about? Is it the texture? Is it the idea of just eating melted cheese?
The melted cheese aspect of it. Like, there was a time that I'm like, was all about the queso and everything. But like,
I'm just gonna have to continue smoking my pipe. This is good. This is where my pipe really does come in as the adult male pacifier, because I'm just gonna put it in my mouth and shut up.
This is where friendships get challenged right here.
At this point, yeah.
I really can't do it. I mean, like, you know, you mix some sausage in. Like, if you start mixing some sausage in, you start mixing some tomatoes in. Like, oh, okay. But I mean, I'm not there for the cheese. The cheese is just there to complement everything else. On the other side, guacamole is amazing, especially when done right. Like, done really right.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I love guacamole.
Plus, it's like, guacamole is heavy. If you're looking for like that kind of comfort food, I mean, like, guacamole is a good comfort food.
This is me silent listening.
Okay. Case.
Right.
All right. And so to the two people that are still listening to the podcast, you and your mom, thank y'all.
That's exactly right. Yep. My wife and my mom.
We may have lost the Mrs. Coles as well on the distant the queso.
Right. I you know, part of my family is German as well, so you know, and everyone loves queso, so yeah, we've basically been disowned.
This is the one that did it.
Right.
Dang you, Freiburg. All right. Well, great quickfire questions. Of course, those are brought to us by the Ten Society. Now, the Ten Society is an awesome, awesome online service that if you've not checked out before, where you been? You got to check this out. It's called 10society.com is the place to go, and here you can get a monthly subscription of various tobaccos delivered to your door, curated samplings, so that you get a chance to taste and test a lot of different tobaccos that you may have not otherwise had the opportunity to do so. It definitely brings kind of the pipe tobacco enthusiast into the modern era, wouldn't you say?
It's great, man. It's the modern box concept for pipe smokers, and you know, all the tobaccos that we talk about regularly on Country Squire Radio, you know, occasionally including the Freiburg and Traeger, if you're lucky enough to be on that box, you know, you're going to get exposed to just so many wonderful tobaccos that are out there. And so if you did have the chance, you know, we talked about this last week, and then we actually had an unboxing,
that's right,
kind of mini, you know, 45-second episode. It was longer than that, but, you know, where we... Where
it was
we,
under 3 minutes. I tried to keep it under 3 minutes.
Yeah, we actually opened a box recently. You can look at it. I guess it's on our YouTube channel.
But, that's right.
And see what you get. It's a really professionally done, well packaged. It makes you feel like you're getting something special, and frankly, you are. You know, when you open this, you're getting plenty of tobacco to try, several different kinds, and we're all talking premium tobacco. This is stuff that comes out of anywhere from, you know, $15 tins to $30 tins, and it's all over the market. You've got aromatics and non-aromatics, and tobaccos you might not necessarily try, but or buy on your own, but it's something that kind of challenges your palate and pushes you, and occasionally you will really find those favorites. So it's just a great service. You can go to 10society.com, use the code Squire when you sign up, and you'll get 20% off your first month's purchase. And it's just a great way to stay kind of fresh in the pipe tobacco market and check out some new stuff.
Absolutely. So again, that Squire is the code to use when you sign up for 20% off on your first month's service at 10society.com.
That's right.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback. We got some great listener feedback in. Let's see. First one up, we got an iTunes, an iTunes review in from Corporate Creep.
I think I worked for that guy one time.
Yeah. I know a few. What did Corporate Creep have to say?
Corporate Creep, man, best pipe smoking road trip partners. I just wanted to thank you fellas for making my 5-hour road trips every other weekend a breeze. I've been smoking a pipe for going on 2 years, and honestly, you have taught me almost everything I know. Sorry, but terribly awkward Instagram selfies of my fellow pipers' inner noses don't quite fill my need for information. And boy, is he onto something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a whole episode within itself. Like the terrible pipe smoker selfie.
Uh-huh.
We'll go there sometime.
Wow.
Continuing on. I live in an area of Missouri where there isn't a solid source of pipe tobacco and knowledge within an hour and a half drive, but you boys definitely fill the void. Keep it up. I plan on visiting the shop very soon. Cheers. And that's from Corporate Creep. Dude, man, thank you so much. We're glad we can be partners with you there on your commute.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do feel like most of... I could be wrong on this, but I do feel like there's a large amount of like new listeners that come in, and they like the introduction to Country Squire Radio is binge listening as part of a road trip, which is always fascinating.
I think you're right. Yeah. Well, we think about Netflix being the same way, right?
I mean,
when you're going to introduce yourself to a new show, well, that doesn't mean you watch one. You watch, eight. And before you know it, you finished all 28 seasons of Criminal Minds or whatever,
That's exactly right. Well, and the interesting thing too is that by the time I could be wrong too, but by the time we get these reviews in, generally speaking, they probably haven't gotten caught up to now.
Yeah, so I think so. Yeah,
a lot of time. Let me know if I'm wrong. I'm kind of curious for those of you, especially the newer listeners that are going through and binge listening. Do you start from the bottom now you're here, or do you actually start at the latest and work your way back? I'm just kind of curious. So let us know what your experience has been. Your miles may vary. Pun totally intended. We also have a quick email in from Kevin Pinkerton, who says, "Can I replace Caleb?"
Don't we all wish we could?
Well, first of all, no one can ever replace Caleb.
That's true. No, that's
true. He was a unique individual.
He is a unique individual.
Yes, right?
He still is an individual.
Right.
But he did such a good job here at the Squire and left such an indelible mark. And of course, so many of our wonderful blends that have come out over the past couple of years have been his. He worked really hard on that, and we're very proud of that. Oddly enough, or at least kind of related, one of our Twitter questions tonight is from Eric Subtilis 87. He says, "Any updates on how the post McClellan cousin of Green Dragon is coming?" And Eric, good to hear from you, brother. Hope you're doing well, but. So actually we haven't come up with a Green Dragon replacement yet, but Caleb, in his quest to do that, came up with a new blend, which wasn't the same as Green Dragon, but was so good that we wanted it to stand on its own, and that is our new blend, King's Foil. And King's Foil is now on our shelf. You can order it through our website, and it is a Virginia dark-fired Kentucky blend, and so it's got the full-bodied kind of roasted flavor of that Kentucky leaf, really tasty, pretty strong, but you'll still have the subtle natural sweetness of the Virginias there in the background. So really great tobacco, and we think you'll enjoy it. We also have another new tobacco too, Peach Melba, which is our new aromatic, and it is brand spanking new.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, yep. Man. That's that's exciting stuff.
Yep.
All right. Then we also got one in, Commodore.
Now,
You remember Commodore from last week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brand new Country Squire Radio club member. What did Commodore have to say?
He said, "Thanks for saying my name correctly, y'all. No, Commodore is not my birth name, but it was a nickname that just kind of stuck. I think it first came to be from the beer Commodore Perry IPA by Great Lakes Brewing.
Interesting.
Rather than the actual dude himself. I actually... and the president of a, I'm actually the president of a mopped gang, pedal start Moped right. Gang. Pedal start mopeds from the 70s, not scooters. There's a difference between a moped and a scooter.
There is a difference.
Yeah, right. they'll fight you on that. We need to be clear. He said, in the underground moped community, Commodore is what they call me. Anyways, love this episode, and I'm very appreciative for what you guys do to keep the pipe community in the loop. Commodore Perry, the latest club member. Commodore Perry, thank you very much. I would love to for you to continue to wax poetically on the differences between scooters and mopeds. I will never forget being in Scotland, probably, let's see, it was 11 years ago now, and the taxi driver that picked us up at the pub, I can't remember its name, we had just consumed a large amount of Scotch whiskey, and this very kind cab driver, he wanted to tell us everything he knew about scooters, and that he was on his way to a scooter rally, and that it was different, and it was a scooter rally, and it was different from a moped. And I just want to say, I'm on team moped.
Team moped all the way.
Yeah, I'm on team moped.
I'm not anti-scooter, yep. But there is a difference. And I think that a lot of people missed the difference. It's interesting. Maybe it was Commodore that I saw post this, but I did see somebody recently post a picture of like the pipes they were smoking to go to one of these mopped rallies.
Mopped rallies.
Is that not is just moped rallies?
I think it's moped.
All right. Yeah. For some reason, you know, I'm dyslexic, so I first read it.
Right.
And I was like, what on earth is this? I had to kind of do a little bit of research before I realized the connection. There's kind of this moped type rally. And so, I'm kind of curious. Is there a lot of overlap there? Like, are there a lot of moped enthusiasts that are also pipe smokers and vice versa? Should this be a pipe culture deep dive at some point?
We may have to find out.
Yeah, I'm very curious on that. Let us know, Commodore. You know, has the mystery been taken away now that we know that Commodore was named after a beer?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just continue to roll with it. We're going to create our own lore around Commodore Perry.
Yeah,
It'll be good.
I like that. That's good. That's great. All right, but we also got some great live tweets in. I'm getting a lot of flack for my attempt at a German accent. I will stand by the fact that I do not know how to do a German accent.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just something I definitely do not know.
A little more practice, you know. You make up for it with your exquisite British patrician elitist accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have something. You definitely got to have something. Eric also says request a review of this particular snuff, the White Elephant. Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, I'm actually not. I have not had that particular one. It looks it's an Indian snuff, which of course there is a large tradition of creating nasal snuff there in India. I have not had it before. It looks terrifying. maybe on a future episode.
Interesting. All right, and so also Kilted Pipe Guy before the show mentioned that he was watching the WWDC 2018 keynote. Did you catch any of that?
What's a WWDC?
Okay, so we talked about Android and Apple before.
Right.
This is WWDC is like Apple's big event where they kind of showcase, oh, we're working on this, and guess what? We made it smaller, and here's one more thing. We changed all the charging ports. Like, that's their big...
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I got it, right. And this year, you can't use your earphones or whatever.
Right. Like, oh, you know how you really enjoy using your ear jacks? Well, those are gone now.
Yeah, we're going to mess that up.
No, but it's fine, because now you've got Bluetooth. We're going to pretend like we invented Bluetooth headsets, even though Bluetooth headsets have been around for like a decade before now, but CRs are different because it makes it you look like you're crying from your ears. I hate those things, man. Those ear pod things.
Yeah, I'm against them.
They look so ugly.
Yep.
They look just so bad.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I mean, no offense if you got some. I'm just saying that it looks like you're crying from
your ears. And you may be listening to Country Squire Radio on some right now.
Yeah.
And we encourage you to continue to do that.
I've just offended everybody this episode.
We're done.
All over the map.
We're done.
It probably is time. man, great episode, of course. And we'd love to hear from you in terms of your thoughts on the Fragen, Bragen, Trargen. Freiburg and Trier.
Yeah. That's it.
F&T. We'd love to hear your thoughts on F&T. And if you get a chance to smoke it, be sure to let us know, and we'll read some of those thoughts on the show. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Real Bo York.
And I'm at John David Cole. Or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you can tune in live on Monday nights. That is at 8:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 Pacific, and 9:30 Eastern. Again, all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com.
See, I don't say a dot com
normally either. See, this is the Meerschaum thing. I just,
right.
Yeah.
Meerschaum.
Meerschaum. We're from Mississippi, and that's the thing that I...
Yeah, we're supposed to... Yeah, we just naturally butcher everything, and that's part of
our... Who is it? Who's been saying that? I want to know who it was.
They'll go unnamed.
No. I want to know who it was.
I honestly can't remember because I've heard it from a few people.
You've got to be kidding me.
I'm not
here
kidding.
Here or when you go to like Chicago?
Like around, you know? It's not a deal breaker, though. You know,
clearly.
It's endearing, right?
Yeah,
it's one of those things that, you know, it's like when I say stupid stuff like that dog won't hunt, like... No one knows what that means, but they just kind of roll with it because it's me, right?
Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.